Football on Off the Ball.
As I've mentioned before, it's only gave me a taste for more, whether that be with Ireland or with club football or whatever the case may be.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 19 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Happy Easter, everyone. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. The Irish Grand National on Easter Monday is the focus of our conversation on this episode. And for members this week, we'll examine some of the other races at Fairy House this weekend, apart from the Irish Grand National, and chat about the return of the flat season. So subscribe now for all the juicy info. Johnny Ward, how are you?
How's it going, JD?
I believe you're in the French Riviera.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that there when we arrived on Tuesday. It was absolutely biblical rain. Yeah, we've come to Antibes for the last sort of, we've been here three times now, and it's just a beautiful part of the world. And like for a place like it's the French Riviera, and maybe some people think the French aren't the most welcoming, or that they're a different kind of caliber of person to the gregarious Irish. But like I find the people in Antibes so friendly. You meet a lot of Irish over here as well. And yeah, it's been great, notwithstanding watching that Ireland-Switzerland game on my laptop the other night. I suppose that was the low point, JD.
You haven't bumped into Michael Caine or Steve Martin down there, no? Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
No, I haven't. Although anyone who bumped into me may say he bumped into a Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. So there we go.
Have you ever gone racing in France, Johnny?
No, I have. It's funny now because Cansomer is very near here, JD. Now, that I've looked up the fixtures. There don't seem to be any Cansomer fixtures. But I haven't gone racing in France beyond going to the Arc. Now, I've gone to the Arc in Longchamp, and the year it was in
Chantilly, is it?
Well, it was Chantilly, yeah. So there was one year it was in Chantilly, went to that, and obviously Longchamp's well established. But French racing is kind of, there's an interesting article in the Racing Post this week about like racing kind of struggling in other jurisdictions. French racing, it's surviving and prospering because of the tote system, the pari mutuel. So it has a financial kind of backbone that ensures that it should be okay. But I guess day to day, not many people go racing, like is the case in Ireland. I mean, I was at Limerick on Sunday on a Sunday meeting. There was hardly anyone there. And it's an issue now in across a lot of jurisdictions where it's a lot easier just to kind of, I suppose, to watch on your phone. But I would like to go to one of the provincial meets. I find the run-of-the-mill race meetings can be good fun, particularly the characters you meet there who kind of, you often get like, even in the States when I went to Aqueduct, you get people who are kind of unemployed or retired people who go there for a day out. And when you go racing in different parts of the world, it's quite a different experience from one country to the next. And maybe the next time I'll get to Cansomer.
Would you recommend the Arc as a trip?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like when we'd have to go together, JD, one of the days, maybe do a pod from over there, because it's the element of the fact that you've the top European horses taking each other on, and how much emphasis, you know, Aidan O'Brien would put on the Arc. And I was there for when See the Stars won the Arc. I saw Zarkava win the Arc. I haven't actually seen a horse of Aidan's win the Arc, but the amount of Irish you'd meet over there. My first trip to the Arc, I think, was like €6 entry. They have gone up in price, but it's just such a, obviously it's a Saturday and Sunday meet now, but the quality of the racing, and it's a real it's really old school, like a day out where you drink champagne and, you know, you meet people from various parts of the world. And massively, massively advocate of going racing on, and obviously.
Yeah, it's also my birthday week as well, the first week of October. So we must talk to the money man, Johnny, and get that happening, get that going.
Absolutely.
So the Irish Grand National on Easter Monday, 5 o'clock post time. Memories and personal stories are many of the Irish Grand National. First run in 1870, won by a horse called Sir Robert Peel. What's your feeling about the race? Did you remember it when you were a young lad? Have you gone many times? The Irish National, what does it say to you?
Yeah, you mentioned Sir Robert Peel. I'm actually reading a book, and the older I get, the more I kind of like bringing books on holidays. But there's a book on a history of Ireland in 18 murders. Brilliant, brilliant book. I'll actually get the proper name for it before the show is over. But Sir Robert Peel is mentioned in the context of the famine. And Sir Robert Peel, after which the term Peelers came into being, was a hugely controversial figure in the Irish famine in terms of the laissez-faire kind of attitude of the British government at the time. But I didn't realise until I was looking at Wikipedia today that the first winner of the National was actually named after him, which must have been even at that stage. Sir Robert Peel wouldn't have been overly popular, I would imagine, in Ireland as an individual. But 1870, JD, so the race has been going on for over 150 years, and it has a real place in Irish history as well, because those of you who would have studied anything about the Easter Rising would know that it took place, obviously, Easter weekend 1916, but one of the aspects of the rising was that a lot of the soldiers were caught a bit off guard, and a lot of them were actually racing at Fairy House, and a lot of the people came back from Fairy House to a city that was kind of suddenly being bombarded. So it was a key aspect of the Easter Rising that many of the Dublin patrons at that time had actually gone to Fairy House, which obviously, while it's been in Meath, is basically very, very close to Dublin, around about Rathoath. I suppose my main memory of the National was having a leg of a runner in it. I was racing in Limerick on Sunday where, as I mentioned, Davy Fitzgerald had a winner. And we got involved. Our first horse, JD, was called Operation Houdini. And it was effectively kind of a hotchpotch of characters who met in, many of us met in a bookies in Whitehall. And John Walsh was one of the members, and he was kind of the life and soul of that party, who passed away since. And I've been involved in horses with my friend Declan Daly, who was John's best friend since. And part of it is to keep his memory going. And he ran, Operation Houdini was a good horse. He ran in the 2009 National. He unseated early on in the race at the fourth. And it was a bit of a damn squib that day because he unseated so early. But even having a runner in the race was amazing. And this year will be a bit like few others in the sense of how testing the ground is.
Who won it that year, Johnny?
It was won by Niche Market, actually, who is a horse you'll remember straight away. He was a good horse, and Bob Buckler brought him over. Harry Skelton rode him 33-1. Must have been young Harry Skelton at the time. Beat Church Island and a new story. Michael Hurrigan had a 2-3 in the race. Rare Bob was favourite. He finished fourth for the late. Desi Hughes, who also sat in the sixth. Owlart, Palm Teepee, who remember trained by Willie Mullins, was fifth. It's a different race these days because Willie just, there's such a strength in terms of the Irish horses, and a shocking, shocking indictment of British racing that the English National has so few horses in it, in the top sort of 40, and it doesn't look like they're going to have a huge representation at Fairy House into the bargain.
So All Sorts was the name of the horse that won in 1916, the day of the Easter Rising, and the horse was ridden by Jack Lynn for trainer Dick Cleary, and it was trained at Westmeath. They stopped all the trains on the day in 1916, the British state, as it were at the time, before it was freed. And people had to walk home or get home, and took them days, some of them, to get home. So it was a fascinating story.
JD. Yeah, and in those days as well, if I travel regularly on the train, and some of the racetracks are very, very convenient, particularly you're thinking like Tipperary, which is Limerick Junction. Thurles is quite close as well. Mallow is quite close. The likes of Dundalk as well. But in those days, you often brought your horses racing on the train, and there was an incentive to do that as well, and it was intrinsically linked to the rail network. And you can imagine the kerfuffle that day if they did a movie around the 1916 National. It'd be some movie.
Yeah, and a lot of rich history with the race. Tom Draper had 10 wins. Arkell won the Gold Cup in 1964 and the Irish National, and then 2 years later, Flying Bolt won the Thyestes Chase, the Champion Chase of Cheltenham, and the Irish National. Unbelievable stuff. Paddy Mullins, 4 wins. Brown Ladd is the Red Rum of the Irish National with 3 wins in the 70s. Michael O'Brien, the trainer, had 3 wins. The success of women in the race as well. Anne Ferris was an amateur, won in 1984 on Benton Boy, has sadly passed away. Jetty Pittman had a winner as a trainer in Muddahim. Nina Carberry, Katie Walsh, Dot Love and Sandra Hughes as trainers. And that was a lady trainer, female jockey, when Sandra Hughes had Thunder and Roses with Katie Walsh riding that. So great stories with a race over 150 years.
Yeah, I think you need not to lose sight as well of history and races. I feel it's something that we really have to safeguard and protect. And races have so much history. A lot of it goes back to the days of British rule in Ireland as well, where a lot of the names kind of races evoke that kind of era. But the Irish National, if you look at Tom Draper's name is back on the race card. He'd a runner at Limerick, actually, that fell, albeit got up and was safe and well on Sunday. So Tom's grandfather, Tom Draper, you mentioned, JD, what an astonishing record he had in the race. Going back to Royal Approach in 1954, look at some of the names, Toss Taff Road, Olympia, then you have 4-3, Carforo, Last Link, Arkell Splash, Flying Bolt, all in the sort of 50s, going into the 60s, continued then to dominate with Coalbridge and Brown Lads into the 70s. And it's a race that means so much to the Draper family. You can imagine they'd love to have a runner in it down the in the years to come. And as you mentioned as well, the role of female riders or trainers, like when Nina won it on Organized Confusion, and Nina now is obviously pursuing a political career, and she's become a really big name, actually. And she could be very good for racing if she gets into the political sphere. But the day she won it for her uncle, Arthur Moore, in 2011, I think that'll be many people's favourite memory of the race, because obviously her dad had won it on Bobby Joe, went on to win the, or her brother had won it for her dad, but Bobby Joe went on to win the Irish National. But Nina is such a popular figure and really, really well regarded rider. Actually, you'd argue that still Rachel Blackmore aside, we don't have enough female riders at all in the professional ranks, and she could have been well up there. But that was a proper image, her winning the race in 2011 for her uncle Arthur.
And Philip Carberry riding the winner Point Barrow too. What do you think is required to win the Irish Grand National? 3.5 miles, a lot of fences, a lot of runners, 26 at the latest stage. We'll go through them in a moment. What do you think is an identical winner when you're looking at for an Irish National trying to solve the puzzle? Who'd you look to?
Like you need a fair bit of luck in running, and I mean it's 3.5 miles. This year is going to be quite different, because like I was really worried this week, JD. We'd one day where 3 race meetings were called off, 1 8 days in advance, and I was concerned how's Ferryhouse going to manage this. And if you're living in the south of the country, the sunny southeast has been nothing like that at all for the last several months. Now Dublin hasn't been quite as bad, but at the same time, Ferryhouse will be testing. They've had going into this morning, they had a pretty dry 24 hours. But to get through the festival over the weekend, they will have fresh ground, but they will be testing. You still look at the winners in recent years, it's still a massive help to have a low weight. And that's surely going to be a big, big factor this year. If you go back to, say the start of the century, Comanche Court from David's Lad, the weights carried 10-10, 9-9, 10-12, 10-stone, 10-1, 10-8, 10-4, 10-stone, 10-5, 10-4, 9-13, 10-5, 9-5, 10-13, 10-6, 10-6, 11-4, that was our Duke, who was a really good horse, but 10-stone General Principle, 10-8 Borough Saint, 10-8 Freewheeling Dillon, 9-10 Lord Lariat, two of them massive prices, and Aya Maximus was a bit of a mad horse. He was 11-1, but these are startling stats in terms of carrying a low weight, and it's with that in mind that I'm looking at sort of my selection this year. I don't know who you like in the race.
So what's your cutoff point then in terms of the weight? Do you have a number?
No, and you can't be rigid in terms of this as well. Like in fairness, this year, because of the weight structure of the race, there's 11-6 Farouk Delaine, 11-1 Manila, a Cocooner.
They'll all go up 6 pounds. If Farouk Delaine runs, they'll all go up 6 pounds.
Exactly. So that'll bring others into the kind of argument. That would have ramifications as well for Nick Rockett, who's been the antipost favourite. Very, very solid type in the race. But I don't have a cutoff point, but I am sort of inclined to look at horses with a low weight, because it's really, really going to be demanding on that ground.
As we do this recording on Thursday, there's 26 horses that are still standing in the race, and that might be reduced now by the time we get to the final declaration stage. But they are Farouk Delaine, Manila Cocooner, Churchstone Warrior, Nick Rockett, Favori de Chantoux, Desert Moor House, Run Wild Fred, Senior Chief, Any Second Now, Intense Raffles, Max Charm, Yeman, Dial Care, Dunboyne, Heart or Dark, Frontal Assault, Where It All Began, Cool Survivor, Good Time Johnny, as in Johnny Ward, Street Value, Digby, Daily Present, Royal Thief, We'll Have One, Where's Frankie, and History of Fashion. Have you narrowed it down to a handful, 1, 5? Where are you at?
Well, I have to take Good Time Johnny, don't I, JD? I mean, you know, it's just kind of been...
No emotion in this, Johnny. No emotion in this tipping game.
He doesn't have a H in his name either, so maybe it's a different Johnny, but I'm going to take a chance on him. He's going to have a very low weight. Tony Martin, you know, it's got to be done. He was running at Cheltenham. He was running at Cheltenham. When he won at Cheltenham last year, he had a BHA mark of 142. And this, they didn't run him at Cheltenham for whatever reason. He's likely raced. Tony Martin, the handicap king. I'm surprised at how big he is in the betting. He's available at 16 to 1. He's obviously been laid out for a good handicap. For all that his mark is very harsh, if you look at his hurdles mark, they've given him a mark, I think, which is basically the lowest they can give him in terms of his hurdles mark. And Tony Martin's done better with chasers than hurdles over the last year or two. I'm going to just take a chance on him at the price, because if he can creep into it and jump away, he's going to have a low weight. He's clearly, theoretically, well handicapped.
He has only had 6 chase runs in his life. Would that be a worry for you?
It would, but you need, there's upside in terms of a horse to be like, those horses have no chance of this, as far as I'm concerned. You need something with a bit in hand. Other horses that I got to mention, I'm going to hopefully talk to Tom Gibney today. Intense Raffles, obviously Daryl Jacob can't take the ride. Intense Raffles was won by 43 lengths at Ferry House the last year. Kind of hard to know what to make of that. But he also beat Where It All Began at Ferry House the day before. That's really solid form. I know Tom Gibney's really thrilled to have a runner for Isaac, for Munir and Isaac Swade's team, and he's going to have a relatively low weight. And obviously the horse I mentioned as well, JD, Nick Rocket, he was put in his place by American Mike the last day, but it was a very good run.
So good time, Johnny, your selection for the Irish National, 16 to 1. I know the owners of Good Time Johnny. I met them at the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland in 2022, and they're good lads. They run bars in New York, Aidan Shields, Charlie Gavigan and Niall Riley. They're good lads. And I think they came down to Keeneland to back one horse. And they said to me, if it doesn't win, we're out of here. No, I think it did win. But they're good fun. They're good company. They're generous people. They're nice people. I don't know if you ever come across them.
I have indeed. And like, being honest now, I can't even remember what he was running at Cheltenham. But this is way, way more lucrative than when Cheltenham has 100% lost some of its luster. And some of the races that took place at Cheltenham, is, for all that, it's obviously still my favourite. Some of the races, I mean, small fields and all of that, it's not what it was. Irish National hasn't lost anything.
So what do I like? I'm kind of going in a different direction to you. Look, I think Nick Rocket, Johnny, is solid. You know, I mean, he's set to carry 11 stone 5. Now, that could be difficult on the ground. But William Mullins has talked up his chances. He was an impressive course winner over hurdles at Ferry House last year. His beginner's chase form was franked by Corpus Cross and Monty Starr. Novices have got a good record in the race. He's a worthy favourite for me. Nick Rockish, I would agree with you about Intense Raffles. Only 11 runs in his life, only 2 in Ireland, both at Ferry House, won easily over 3 miles. Jumps well, could be ahead of the handicapper, definitely probably is. The caveat, though, he's a 6-year-old with minimal experience. 6-year-olds don't have that great a record in the race. The one I like is Max Charm, actually. Cotton Murphy's horse. He's lightly raced for a 9-year-old. He's only had 8 chase runs. He can be inconsistent, but he was staying on 5th of the Thyestes Chase at Goran Park on similar ground to what we're going to get on Monday. He jumps well. He could be the head of the handicapper. He won at the course last year, and he won quite well, I felt. And yeah, I think he'll be suited by the examination over 3.5 miles, Max Charm. I don't know if you like his chances. 25 to 1.
Yep. Yeah, when you mentioned that race he won, he beat Sir Bob, who actually came right back to form of late. He won over hurdles lately and won the Cork National earlier on the season, and that was off 135. He's £5 higher. He would have a chance as well. A lot of it's going to depend on, like, it'll be interesting to see how the races pan out. Our horse is coming from behind. You want to be handy. You certainly don't want to be going too hard, because, like, this is so, so testing. They're going to go really slow. If they don't go slow, they're not going to get home. And the battle on for the lead, it's a difficult one for jockeys here, because Paul Townend, for example, on Nick Rocket, when he rode him at Navan the last day, he tried to come from rear, and it looked like he was going to win jump the last, but then he was sort of outstayed by American Mike. Whereas at Ferry House the time before that, he was basically, it was he himself and Tactical Move, who's likely to run at the weekend, were sort of first and second, and nothing else got into it. So how he rides him here, stepping up and trip, will be quite interesting. He ran in that really hot beginner's chase to Corbett's Cross, three car Bragg, Monty's star ran in, but that'll be an intriguing one for Paul Townend, who's had a stupendously good Cheltenham. How is he going to ride a horse who's not proven over the trip?
There's a few also to keep an eye on. Favre de Champtu, I think, needs to go right-handed. It'd be interesting. He's got a claimer on board for Gordon Elliott. His win in the Florida Pearl Novice Chase looks very good now, that Punchestown win. Poor runs in his last 2 starts, but might have been because he went left-handed. He's a jumping, galloping sort. I think you need that for the Irish Grand National. I think he's interesting, Favre de Champtu, if they put a claimer on him. Could be a lively outsider. Whereas Frankie is a course specialist at Ferry House. Won 4 times there. Will like the conditions. A low weight's guaranteed for him. Once again, if there's a claimer like Danny Gilligan on, he could be interesting. And the other one, in addition to Max Charm, Street Value was 50 to 1 when I had a look at him yesterday. Pulled up on his last two starts, but he is in and out in terms of his career profile. But he did win over the course and distance in the Porterstown Chase at the end of last year. Now, this much hotter race, it seems. But he's only going to carry 10-3, apparently. And Street Value might run into the frame for John Flavin. So Street Value may be my each way. And look, Max Charmer's and you know, each way price as well at 25s. But Max Charmer's probably my selection. Your selection, Good Time Johnny, yeah?
It is, yeah. Street Value as well. The Flavins, lovely family down around about Tremore. I've met them at a couple of preview nights down there. And John has done well. He doesn't probably train that many. He's taken over from his dad, who was involved in quite a serious accident, actually, on a horse a few years ago. And it's great. John as well. A lot of small connections. And I say that in the sense of how difficult it is to take on like Elliot Mullins and De Bromhead and Crumble and all that. A lot of small connections and smaller yards still do really, really well in the Irish Nationals, which makes it somewhat of an outlier at this stage.
5 o'clock Monday, McMahon at Double J for the Irish Grand National at Ferry House. Please have a euro each way responsibly, folks. Max Charmer is my one at 25-1 and yours, Good Time Johnny 16s.
Good Time Johnny at 16s.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of our podcast, we'll be leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our analysis of the rest of the weekend's racing at Ferry House and a review of the start of the flat season, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.